Hi everyone, I'm Joel Premack and welcome to the Community-Led Growth Show. Each week, I will be speaking with community leaders to share insights with you all on how to build a community-led growth company. Let's get to it. Hey everyone, I'm Joel Premack, host of the Community-Led Growth Show. Today, I'm joined by Zoe Hartsfield, Community Manager at Speckit. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Zoe.
Hey, thanks for having me, Joel.
Of course. Starting off the session today, can you give everyone a quick 3-second intro about yourself?
Yeah, quick intro about me. So again, my name is Zoe. I am building community over at a company called Speckit. We do real-time enablement and lots of cool things. But I got my start in SaaS sales like 2.5 years ago and then moved into marketing, found myself in partnerships, and now I get to build community. So it's been an interesting journey through some of the roles in the SaaS world, but really just love tech, love startups, and I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. That's wonderful. So diving into your role at Speckit right now, when talking about community there, what does community mean at Speckit?
So I usually like to start with what community doesn't mean at Speckit. And for us, it's not about a follower count or a number of registrants or like how many customers we have that would say yes to like a G2 review. Like community isn't this numbered thing. It's really, you know, can we create an environment where we are elevating our customers, where we are elevating the profession of sales enablement, and can we be thought leaders and value add to that space? And so we're really trying to form community around a shared interest, problem, and experience for people. And so that's what we're going to be building it around, and not so much around like, oh, can we get 100,000 followers on LinkedIn? Like, sure, that might happen, but it's not the goal.
Yeah, it's a nice byproduct, but definitely not. It doesn't sound like it's the goal. That's for sure. Yeah. Okay, so from my little bit of research, looks like, according to LinkedIn research, that you're a community team of one. What's that like?
So right now, it's like a lot of research. And it's good that I'm only a team of one. I don't think we have enough of anything happening just yet for there to be more of us. Now, it doesn't mean I'm doing this alone, which is nice. I have an incredible manager who is head of brand and events, and like events just ties in so well with community, and like field marketing and CS ties in. So I don't feel like I'm doing anything alone, even though I'm technically a team of one, because I have incredible sales, CS, and marketing leadership to tap into as I'm working on this thing.
Awesome. So in terms of building the actual community, where are you guys like building it? How are you guys planning to engage with your audience of sales enablement and learning professionals? And just kind of what's that look like right now?
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing. Our approach early days is, can we join all the communities in the space where our ICP is already hanging out and where some of our customers like to spend their time too? And can we become thought leaders and a value add in those communities, whether that is like monetary sponsorship, whether it is creating brand ambassadorship within our team and sending, you know, 2 or 3 people to go become a part of these communities and add that value. It's social listening, it's social media, it's like activating our customers to help us create content. So when I think about it today, community just really means rallying around what exists. It's going to be different in the future as we ultimately build it out.
For sure. And diving into how you're engaging with communities that your ICP is already in, how are you either enabling and like team members to then join and be active in them in like, quote unquote, like a positive, correct manner? I know I don't want to say that like loosely, but equally there is kind of like a right way, I feel, to engage in a community space.
Yeah.
So I'd love to hear about like how you're empowering them, as well as how you're actually identifying those spaces further for your team members to be in?
Yeah, so I think the identification process criteria is, you know, where's our ICP live? What are all the communities that they're spending their time in? Okay, we're going to spend our time there. Now, can we take a look at our team and identify communities that make the most sense for their role? So if we're looking at Modern Sales Pros or Sales Assembly, I want to pick brand ambassadors on our sales team. If it's more of a CS community, I want to pick CS people. If it's like a true, pure sales enablement community, I'm going to pick my enablement people and tap everybody on the shoulder. Most people know like correct community conduct, but we'll have kind of like a set of ground rules of like, hey, you don't like jump into these things and pitch. Instead, when someone's speaking on a topic that we know we can help, instead of pitching our product, why don't you offer them like a helpful blog post or, you know, an interesting resource or point that introduce them to somebody on our team who could maybe answer their actual question, who does their same role. Don't pitch the product, just position ourselves as a value add. And again, as a thought leader. And then those opportunities will come back around. That's how you form those relationships. And that's how you really win those bigger deals is by being seen as actually helpful and a problem solver. Like, oh, when I have an issue, like that team over at Speckit is always like so helpful. Can I like, maybe I should hit them up now that we're like at this stage in our company. So it's a little bit of, you know, I don't even want to call it training and enablement because that feels too extreme. Like most people know what you should and shouldn't do in a community, but it's just like a little bit of a heads up of like, hey, this is how we enter into these conversations. And then sometimes it's working with the community leaders to implement some like social listening tools, you know, keyword bots, like stuff like that, to just be notified when the conversations that we should be a part of are happening, not to respond on our behalf, not to step in for us, but just like give us that cue. So that way my sales team isn't like spending 24/7 in these Slack channels, like they're doing their job, but when like an important conversation comes up that we should be a part of, they get notified, they can go hop into it.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's really interesting how you were talking around like enablement almost sounds too extreme. And I think that almost like a word that kept floating around in my head is almost more etiquette. Like it's just kind of like community etiquette of you are all there for a reason. So you want to be how you would want to be treated too. Like you wouldn't want to be pitched automatically, like right off the cuff. So treat everybody else like that same way.
Totally. Yeah. I think it's just, it's an honest conversation as you're equipping people to be that ambassador for your brand. But luckily, like our team is, I haven't had to have any like really in-depth conversations. It's just sort of the basic, like, hey, like don't pitch, be helpful. And like our team is good at that. So it's not awesome. A big deal.
That's wonderful to hear. So you hit on like these bots that you sometimes use or can use in communities to help kind of listen for keywords. How did that conversation like happen with these communities that you guys are involved with, as well as like, what are some of the learnings that you guys have gained through using these, either in terms of that social listening aspect, as well as just being like generally helpful?
Yeah, so this is something I learned from a previous role. Shout out Mark Young, VP of Marketing at Duly. That was his idea, and I've just like adopted it because it's a good idea. And just picking keywords that make sense for your product. So if you help with enablement and onboarding and sales training, like can I have all of those be keywords that I'm being notified of? Now, not every conversation is actually relevant for me to jump into. So when you pick a word like Salesforce, people mention Salesforce all the time, and it may not be relevant to your solution. So those are opportunities where it's like, if I have something helpful to say, I will still say it because then I know that person uses Salesforce and that's a tool we integrate with really well, whatever. But you know, never trying to add noise. So if it's like really just totally irrelevant to me, or like, I don't actually know anything about that thing, like I'm not going to jump in. If it's a subject that our sales team can actually speak to and maybe develop a relationship with this person and they could become a champion, or maybe they're a decision maker at a company we're trying to target, then that's when I want somebody jumping in and like having a meaningful dialogue with that person. So it's a lot of it's just like common sense, reading the situation as it comes up in real time, and filtering out a lot of conversations that you actually don't need to be a part of.
Awesome. So now we just kind of covered a little bit about how you guys are actually engaging in these communities and what community looks like at Speckit right now. So kind of pivoting into the third kind of bucket of this is, how are you balancing showing quick win ROI right now, but equally being strategic and building community for the long term? Because it's really a long-term play.
Yeah, so community building, I don't want to put like a strict timeline on it, but we aren't going to have a community Q1. Like, it's going to take a long time to stand that up. So in the short term, I'm trying to influence other things, because community is bigger than just, do you have a Slack group full of people? It's, how are our events doing? Like, what are our customers saying about us? So trying to promote customer created content and like co-branded content with customers, how to elevate the brand itself in a way that makes sense on social media. So running like PR plays with the team. And really for me, I'm just kind of like, I'm not above doing pretty much anything in the job description. So I raise my hand whenever I can, say, hey, is there something I can like help you with today? Because the more conversations I get to have with sales, CS, and marketing, the better I'm going to understand the landscape of what we're doing, and the more conversations I get to have with customers. So anytime there's a thing where I can help with that, that's what I'm doing, because right now I'm just like really collecting data. So those quick wins are often not the obvious things in community, but they will tie back to community when everything is stood up and it all come together.
Nice. I love that. And something that's really interesting that you just kind of touched on is that community can like impact so many different areas of the business, not just the kind of like end goal of revenue, but also just like how you're being talked about on social, which I think is such a critical piece when a lot of people, and I'm sure, actually, I kind of know that enablement people are really on LinkedIn. So that's a really big place to be active on. And also congratulations on your Series B that you guys recently announced. Forgot to mention that at the top. And then you were like, PR plays. I'm like, ooh, I saw that one. All over.
Well, thanks. I just got to come in after they did all the hard work and help with the announcement. Like, it was already done. And my boss, Elle, is literally incredible. And she did like 99.9% of the heavy lifting. And I just got to come in on announcement day and like make a lot of noise. So it was very fun. And the marketing team and really the whole team like crushed that announcement. And Mel and Zari are amazing for having raised the funds. So just like all around exciting time.
Very nice. Last question coming up. Is what are the biggest trends in community that you are watching for in 2022 and beyond?
I think that you are going to see a lot more community roles popping up at companies, like a lot more community team employee number ones, as companies catch on to the fact that like, oh, community is like an interesting play. I also think you're going to see a lot of companies fail at community in the first like 3 to 5 months that they try to build it. Not to be like a dark, like ominous is the future, but I think companies want somebody to come in and build community day one. And they're like, all right, start like reaching out to customers. We have enough, like, let's build a community. And I think if they hire people who have done community before, they'll give them pushback and say that that's probably not the best way to go. But I also think that you're going to see a lot of companies try community, fail, and say that community doesn't work. And you're going to see a lot of companies go in and put in the time and do it right and see amazing success with community in 2022. So I think it's going to be a real split.
Awesome. Okay. I'm sorry. I said that was coming up on the end, but I want to dive deeper into that. What kind of goes wrong outside of like building a community day one, as you mentioned, like what are other things that you think will lead to a negative outcome for companies that are starting off on their, I'll call it, community building journey, for lack of a better phrase?
Yeah. So I think companies that come in and like one or two people decide this is the community we're going to build and go build it, I think that's what's going to fail. I think if you aren't asking your team, if you aren't asking your customers, if you aren't interviewing the people who are your ICP, who you are targeting, and discovering what is like the gap that we could fill in this space, what do they want out of a community? I have plenty of ideas of what I would want out of a community. I could interview 10 enablement people and they'll all give me the same answer and not what I thought it was. And if I went and built my idea for these enablement people, it would probably fail miserably. So I think the thing that people are going to do is they're going to come in with a lot of assumptions. They're not going to lead with curiosity. And that is where I think people are going to see a lot of pitfalls. I think tons of people are going to succeed at community this year. Don't get me wrong. I see that being like the number one mistake that people will make, is they're going to come in thinking this is what the people want. They build it and it flops. There, I was just on the phone with somebody earlier today who was saying like, there's some statistic that I think 70% of new communities fail in the first 4 months or something like that. I might be wrong about that number, but it was like something really high, that like within 4 months, a community is built and dies because somebody assumed that they knew what the people wanted and then they didn't. So I think that's going to be the pitfall to avoid, is do your research, do more research than you even think you need to do as you build and as you ideate. And I also think that people are going to probably think about community a little too small, so that scaling will be difficult. They're going to be like, oh, this is just going to be a customer community, so I'm just going to call it the company community, ABC company community, which isn't a terrible idea. But what if you want to scale that past that and you want to invite people who aren't your customers? Like, do I, as not a customer of ABC company, want to go join their community? Because I know the ABC company is just going to try and pitch me every single time I'm in that community. So I think thinking big, I think thinking beyond the initial, like how you start it and where it could be in a few years, obviously allowing your members to dictate and drive that direction ultimately, but still leaving enough space to assume that it's going to grow, I think that would also be a good call to make and a pitfall to avoid.
Okay. So that was all like amazing, just blown away. I loved that. But now we're going to flip on to the other side of when community goes right, what does that look like from your experience and or from communities that you've kind of admired, I guess, from afar? And maybe you haven't actually been a member of, but you're like, they are just doing it right. And like, you know it.
So my favorite communities are the ones that help like provide people with resources, like help them bring people together and help them get better at their jobs or life, or make them feel something. In this case, I would say a sense of belonging or purpose. And so my favorite communities do one or all of those things. They make people feel a part of something, and they also provide resources that make me better at my job, or make me better as a friend, or make me better as an employee, or whatever. And so I think community is who can provide that space for people and can think about like, wow, I'm really providing like education and answers to questions and help and support. And maybe that's more than just a Slack channel. Maybe it's a chat. Maybe it's a Q&A section. Maybe it's also a podcast. Maybe there's webinars. Maybe there's, live coaching or mentorship or connections to experts. Like, I think there's so much that community can bring, but my favorite communities that I've been a part of, ones like Thursday Night Sales, JB Sales has like an interesting community aspect to it, MSP, Pavilion, RevOps Co-op, like these places where I can go and I know that I'm going to like get the answers that I need because the members are active and excited to be there and excited to help one another get better. So I would say that's kind of like the magic or the it factor of successful communities.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely coming back to kind of that point of like driving value, whether it's like your employees are in the community and kind of acting as like a good brand ambassador, or if you're just a member, like you still want to get value from it. You don't want to have it like kind of fall flat. So I would totally agree with that. So I am a big fan of Speckit, like big fan. I think it's like a really wicked cool product. And I guess like my kind of question, and maybe it's a little selfish, is in terms of like community, how big or like how many different ways really can you use Speckit in terms of like, you may not necessarily have just like one ICP for like the buyer or user of Speckit. So like, is it hard or challenging to kind of grow a community that's not just for this one person?
I think community building is challenging no matter how big your potential audience is, because you got to get them to care. Like, I almost think it's going to be a little bit easier because while we do have a lot of different end users, our economic buyer is pretty focused. And so that's who I'm going to serve. And I really believe that while enablement professionals are some of the coolest people that I know, they're kind of like just now on the rise. Like they're just now getting kind of like the recognition and respect that they deserve. So if I can create a space that really elevates them and gives them that opportunity to like be the real heroes that they are, like that's who I want to serve. So I'm not worried about, oh, how do we like serve enablement and revenue and CS and ops and engineering, all this stuff. We're not going to. Like, this is the community that needs to like have more access to one another and have access to best practices, and they deserve it. And they do so much to help educate and help other people and make other people better at their jobs. Like, I genuinely feel very lucky that I'm going to build a space that hopefully will do that for them. And that feels important. And I'm not an enablement expert. I won't claim to be. So I'm excited to work with them and help build something that feels meaningful for enablement professionals to be a part of. But yeah, I think if I were trying to make it meaningful and helpful to everybody, it wouldn't serve anyone. So instead, I'm picking the people that I am excited to create community for.
Awesome. And I think you just hit on something that's really important too, is like making your members feel special and like elevating them, and like that sense of like, it's like a warm fuzzy pretty much. It's just like the way like you want them to leave every time they interact in the community, which is awesome. So if we're coming up on time here, I see. So Zoe, thanks again so much for being on the Community-Led Growth Show today. If people want to follow and or connect with you outside of, I guess, this conversation, what are the best channels and or handles for them to do so?
Yeah, LinkedIn, that's pretty much all I do all the time. I have a Twitter, I have an Instagram, I never do anything on either of those platforms. So like, there's no point in me telling you to follow me there, but connect with me or follow me on LinkedIn. I write aggressively mediocre content and try to kind of go through this process a little bit publicly so that other people can hopefully learn from the many mistakes I'm inevitably bound to make. Follow me there.
Awesome. Thank you so much and have a great day.
You too. Thanks.